So, Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you, known and unknown devotees who have come today here. I must explain that actually these lectures are and this evening's have started on a very small and somewhat private level. Since many years now, I'm so fortunate to come in during the month of Kartik to Braj to perform a Kartik Vrata, which is not something which is easy. It means actually to stop all other activities and all other relationships except that one relationship which is the most important, but which so often comes into the background, that relationship to Radha and Krishna. And we started these lectures or these evenings just when I was in remote places. I needed a little support team, and I still have a support team of devotees who assist me doing this vrata. And I thought, just to show my gratitude and that we come together and do something spiritual, I would just spend the Damodar Puja with them. And this were sometimes two devotees, three devotees, but then other devotees showed an interest, and we didn't want to keep the door closed. So these lectures will be a little different, and I am also very much different from what you know me to be, an outgoing preacher. When you go on a vrata, you want to go inside, and you are on a fascinating but highly, let us say, highly challenging journey at times. So good. This having been said, I would like to welcome you to Braj Vilas Stava, a work of Raghunath Das Goswami. Maybe I should mention, because people live in a culture of distraction. If you have a mobile phone now, please stop it and do the normal things which are done amongst spiritual people. Just switch it off. And what is Braj Vilas Stava? Braj Vilas Stava is a work which is showing us a land map, so to say, of the spiritual world, and giving us an orientation how to reach there. It is a small work, but it gives a high promise, a tall promise, that anyone who happily recites this and listens to it, he will increase his loving sentiments and will certainly be able to see Shri Radha Krishna along with their associates in Sri Vrindavan. So it's a big promise, and you please now listen. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatra sneha varai sadas nutakucha dvantva tadiyo chalat gamayasya pilavasya rakshanavido svaprana deha vudhaye asakta akshanamatam apyakalanat sadhya prasur levagor vyagraya vilapatyalam vahubayat sapatu goteshvari. The translation of this text is reading like this. Out of affection for her son, milk always flows from Mother Yashoda's breasts. She tries in millions of ways to remove her son's fatigue whenever she sees drops of perspiration on his body. She becomes extremely frightened and anxious, like a cow who has just given birth to a calf, if she doesn't see the face of her son for even a moment. May that queen of Vrindavan, Sri Yashoda, protect me. In this verse, Raghunath Das Goswami gives us introduces us to the embodiment of parental love in Vrindavan. The embodiment means it's the highest form of parental love, which resides in Mother Yashoda. Rupa Goswami has explained to us a little bit how these devotees who are superiors or elders to Krishna feel towards Krishna. They are always very happy to fondle Krishna, means to pat him on the head or to take him on their lap and so on. And they have very compassionate hearts. That means when they see some discomfort in Krishna, they feel compassion for Krishna, which sometimes moves them to a sense of pity. Oh, Krishna. Like Mother Yashoda comes to Krishna one morning and says, Krishna, you don't have to labor so hard by going out and herding the cows. This is not something which you should do. Your body is as soft as the Shirisha flower. That's a very soft flower, which has a very red hue, and it is described that Radharani likes the Shirisha flower so much that in her palace in Vashana, there is a carpet just of Shirisha flowers, because when Radha walks on them, they're very soft. So your body is so soft, Krishna, says Yashoda. Why did you have to have taken your birth in the family of cow herders, that you have to go now out and herd the cows? How unfortunate you are. You know, she feels a sense of pity for Krishna. That's how much she loves Krishna. Oh, a small thing moves her compassionate heart. So every morning, Mother Yashoda goes to Krishna, and she uses protective mantras to protect Krishna. Mantras as if she wants to drive away ghosts or anything which is unfortunate for Sri Hari. And she says with a faltering voice, that her voice trembles, these mantras. Oh, swastu, swastu. You know, she can't really speak. She loves Krishna so much, and then as her eyes fill with tears. Just see this in your mind's eye. She puts on a beautiful tilak on Krishna's forehead. And then she looks at Krishna. Krishna is now ready to go to the cowherd pastures. But still she feels, what if something happens to Krishna? I mean, he has protective mantras. We have put a tilak on him, but still I'm feeling not satisfied. So she takes a red string, a protective red string, and ties it around Krishna's wrist, because then only she feels satisfied. Now nothing can happen to him. And while she does this, out of her breasts come the milk. She can't stop the milk from flowing, because she has so much love for Krishna. Raghunath Goswami says she tries in millions of ways, these were just a few ways, to remove her son's fatigue. Whenever she sees drops of perspiration on his body, you know, that was when Mother Yashoda saw how Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. That was so painful for Mother Yashoda, you have no idea. Everyone was in absolute bliss. Even Giriraj was in bliss. He expanded out of bliss in a huge form. The Brajbasis were in bliss because, you know, when Krishna lifted the hill, the surface of the ground didn't look like ground which was just dug up, as if someone had just thrown the earth, you know, and dug the earth. No, you have no idea. There were vast fields up to the horizon from barley, that's a certain grain, so that Krishna's cows could eat barley, you know. There were cottages, but not these, like these cottages. These there were cottages which Krishna manifested, made out of jewels. Nanda Narayani, can you imagine houses made out of jewels? Krishna just made this by his transcendental energy. So everyone was just so absolutely pleased. Then Madhumanga wanted to joke with Krishna and said, Krishna, don't think that you are carrying the hill because of your strings. It's because of my mantras that the hills are in the air. And Mother Yashoda, everyone laughed except for Mother Yashoda. She burst out and said, why do you joke now? Don't you see how Krishna is just laboring very hard? You know, his nail is so soft, and on a soft nail, the huge mountain rests. There must be tremendous pain in his hand. And Mother Yashoda was constantly getting little boys to massage Krishna's arm, you know. And she said, my Krishna, you must be extremely hungry. And she went and cooked something and brought it, a samosa for Krishna. And Krishna said, Mother, I assure you, I don't feel even a shadow of tiredness. It is not difficult for me to carry the Govardhan hill, because the Govardhan hill flies on its own strength. I don't have to push it up. It just floats there. Yashoda said, Gopal, I can't believe you. You should tell the truth to your mother. If I will only believe you, if Giriraj now flies one round around us, then I know that he floats on his own strength and not due to your effort. And constantly Yashoda was with Krishna. This is every morning like this. When Krishna goes, Mother Yashoda thinks, oh, okay, the protective wristband, and it has millions of ideas how to take care of her little boy. And Mother Yashoda says, and Krishna says, Mother, it's please don't fear that I will be inconvenienced. There is shade in the forest of Vrindavan, and the deers, how do you say, wipe the path so that it's very free from stones and thorns. So please, this is my pleasure to go into the forest. It's not my work. So, after the cowherds had seen Krishna's strength in lifting the Govardhan mountain, they developed a grave doubt and went to Nanda Maharaj. He said, there is something wrong here. Krishna is proclaimed to be your son, but we can't believe this. You can't even carry a big stone on your own, and Krishna, your Krishna, has lifted and held in the air for 7 days a huge mountain, like people. From the children of people are looking like the people, you know, like you are the father of these two wonderful girls, and they look like you. They have two arms, they don't have four arms, you know, and they have human heads and not heads of lionesses, you know. But see, Krishna looks so black, but Nanda Maharaj looks so white. Yesterday we heard that his bodily color is just like as white like sandalwood. Prabhu, you have slept for the fifth time. I have counted it. How is it possible? Maybe you want to sit on the hard sofa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will. Should I throw something at you when you fall asleep for the sixth time? Mm-hmm. Or maybe Vasudev, you can take care of him. It's, you know, you're trying to speak something and someone goes like, it's so impolite. So when he goes, you can pat him on the head softly, because he's a wonderful devotee. You know? See, this is always this in our culture. You speak about Krishna, the devotees go to sleep. There's something wrong in what we do. They should go like, wow, I want to hear Krishna. So, let us come back to the transcendental world. It's more encouraging than the human world. So Mother Yashoda, the cowherd boys came, cowherd men came to Nanda Maharaj and said, we can't really believe that he is your son, because he performs activities which are so different from what you perform that it doesn't really make sense. Can you give us an explanation how Krishna lifted the Govardhan mountain? So Nanda Maharaj said, well, it must be because I worship Narayan that some of the Shakti of Narayan went into Krishna. So everyone said, and accepted this, except for Yashoda. She thought, how is it possible? My boy is so soft. And again she thought of the Shirisha flower. This is so soft. And you know, if the power of Narayan goes into him, you know, that will almost burn my little boy to ashes. So much Shakti in such a little boy, you know. It is not correct. You know, it's all Krishna has nothing to do with this lifting the Govardhan hill. He's my small boy. It's only the mercy of Vishnu who did all this. Mother Yashoda didn't have thinking ability, the thought that Krishna might be God or godly. For her, Krishna was just the beloved little boy. And there is a reason, because once you are confronted with that divine divinity of God, then what happens is you go into the distance, into an attitude of awe and reverence, and Mother Yashoda just cannot be at that place, and she's not like this. So in her thinking, it is not possible that Krishna is God or that he is empowered by God. She says, this is all, my boy has nothing to do with it. He should not stand there in the first place, you know, and hold his arm. You know, better he goes to bed and eat, you know. Mother Yashoda thinks like this, and this is what Raghunath Goswami sees in her, in his meditation. When she becomes extremely frightened and anxious for Krishna's protection. And she is like a cow who has just given birth to a calf and doesn't see the calf any longer, if she doesn't see the face of her son for even a moment. Have you ever seen a cow with her calf, and how much she loves her newborn calf? This is just so much affection. And if you take if someone would take the newborn calf from the cow, it just breaks the cow's heart. She just cries and is beyond herself. The cow is so much full of affection for her newborn calf that this is a great sin, you know, to take the newborn calf away from the cow. It kills the cow to do like this. So Mother Yashoda is just like that, like a cow which laments for her newborn calf when it is not there. The moment she can see, she doesn't see Krishna. Shukadev Goswami describes this. You know, once when Krishna was sitting on the ground playing, he was just very small. Trinavata, a servant of the demoniac king Kamsa, came to kill her, to kill him. So Krishna had just played with Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda had thrown him higher and higher, and Krishna had laughed and indicated, "Higher, mother, higher, mother," and he was just flying in the air. But then he felt, "Oh, soon this Trinavata Sura demon will come, and he will come in the form of a whirlwind and capture me. And Mother Yashoda will suffer too much if she sees that. So better I make myself heavy now so that she puts me on the ground and goes away and does something, and then Trinavata Sura can come, and I will arrange that he carries me higher, because Mother Yashoda was not throwing me high enough. I want to actually come so high that I can see all of Vrindavan and visit the demigoddesses, who are my great devotees also, on the higher planets. This is how high I want to go. Krishna is very adventurous, you know. So he who had been light like a straw now made himself heavy, so that Mother Yashoda had this baby in the hands, which was so heavy. She sat down and Krishna sat on her lap, and it was so heavy. Her legs were pressed to the ground, and she thought, what is this disease of heaviness? I must go to the brahmanas, who must chant some mantras to take this heaviness from my boy. It's too much heavy. So she put Krishna on the ground and for a moment went to fetch the brahmanas to tell them that they must do something now. And at that moment, Krishna taunted, Trinavatasura came and lifted him up into the sky like a wind, a strong wind can do. So then Shukadev Goswami says, because of the dust storm stirred up by the strong whirlwind, Mother Yashoda couldn't find no trace of her son when she returned, nor could she understand why. Thus she fell down on the ground like a cow who has lost her calf and began to lament very pitifully. Now this is the feeling in Yashoda's heart. When she doesn't see Krishna for a moment, she becomes very, very disturbed and cries. This is how strong her love is. So Krishna in the meantime went up with Trinavatasura and saw everything he wanted to see. You know, he had a good overview, panoramic view of his Vrindavan. Oh, there's Yamuna. Then he thought, let me take care of this demon now. And he just choked him. And as Trinavatasura flew, he thought, my God, this little boy, first he is so heavy, now he chokes me. And as Krishna choked more and more, the Trinavatasura looked into Krishna's eye. You know, he was carrying Krishna up. Krishna was smiling at Trinavatasura. And this is how Trinavatasura left his body, by looking in the face of Krishna. Wonderful. And then he fell down from the sky, Krishna, this must be, I have once seen a movie of a parachuter, you know, they know how to fall very nicely. And Krishna just climbed on top of Trinavatasura, and as he landed, Trinavatasura on a stone slab, Krishna just happily sat there and smiled, you know. When Nanda Maharaj saw this, what had just happened, and now saw this huge demon lying there on the ground, and Krishna playing happily on top of the demon, he went with a cowherd just around Krishna and said, we must previously have performed austerities for a very long time. We must have worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, perform pious activities for public life. We must have constructed public roads and wells, and also given charity. And as a result of all our good activities, this boy, although he was faced with death, has returned to give happiness to his relatives. So Nanda Maharaj, what just thinking, if anything inauspicious would have happened to Krishna, we would have died, every one of us. But we have done so much auspicious things, most properly, that now the result goes to our boy and he is not harmed. This is how the parents of Krishna feel towards Krishna. They just feel very, very, very loving towards him. So I will close now this narration. Mother Yashoda is very anxious to see Krishna, and her anxiety comes when each evening, when just before Krishna returns. By that time, Yashoda is so eager to see her little boy, who has gone herding the cows, as it is done in the family of the cow herders. And she just constantly asked the gopis who are with her, "When is he coming? Have you seen any trace?" And the gopis report to her, "Well, he was delayed because there were so many demigods standing left and right on his path, who wanted to pay their obeisances to Krishna. But soon he comes. Soon, soon, soon. You always say soon, soon. He should come right now." And have cooked everything, and everything is ready. So then, because Yashoda wants to know, I find this detail so nice, when Krishna comes, she sends the tallest gopis. It's a large size gopi. Do we have a large size Mataji here? Narayani, you are the highest because you are on the staircase, she sends the large size gopi on a watchtower so that she is the first one to see Krishna coming because of her size, additional size, which makes it much better. They are so eager to see Krishna. When we hear this, we are challenged how great is our amount of eagerness. Rupa Goswami has given all of us sadhakas in this world a particular verse. He says, there's only one prize to obtain Krishna, and that is eagerness. You have to really want it more than you want all the other things in your life. Security, your little amount of distinction so that you feel, I'm worth something because people look up to me in some ways. All the needs, the psychological needs, which are there with us. But if we want to have Krishna, we have to be more eager for Krishna than for our own, name, for our own arrangement in this world. This eagerness is not so easy to come by. It is not something which, let me say, you can just say, okay, let's be eager from tomorrow onwards. The eagerness has a lot to do with the purification of the heart. It is described that according to the purity of your heart, you are eager for various things. When you are, for instance, strongly influenced by the mode of tama, you are eager to just relax all the time or to sleep, or when you are more covered by the mode of passion, you have just insatiable sexual desires in your heart. You have that type of eagerness for these things. So only a person who is purified from the influence of the lower modes, rajas and tamas, has at all a chance to engage in an eager bhajan or eager worship of Krishna. The eagerness comes to a devotee of Krishna when he purifies his heart. Then all of a sudden he will stop being the slave of unnatural desires or unnatural eagerness, and he will develop natural desires, spiritual desires. This eagerness is something which comes in an awakened heart. When Bhakti Vinod Thakur chanted his rounds, he would sometimes interrupt and chant some verses. And he left us with his verse collection. Many verses, a few hundred verses which he chanted. And verses, when you study them, they put you actually in a framework of eagerness. You know, when you are so covered by rajas and tamas, you can't be eager for Krishna, really. You must come out of that framework or out of that psychological pattern which is influenced by rajas and tamas. And sometimes it helps us very much to read these verses. For instance, he has included this verse, Tasyaiva Hetu Prayate to Kovido, a famous verse from the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, where he says an intelligent person should not strive for those things which he can get in this universe, but he should only strive for those things which is love of Godhead, which he could not attain by going through the different planetary systems. So if you read these verses, this verse for instance, you become aware, oh my God, I have wasted my time for just being so eager for material pleasures. Even in Braj, I'm thinking of my food supply. Even in Braj, I think of my ordinary things. Are my shoes in good functioning order? So on. Even in Braj, I remain hopelessly identified with the body and the mind. You begin to feel like this when you are hearing verses like the one which I told you, and you begin to think, maybe while I'm here in Braj, I should do something to focus my mind entirely on developing my Krishna consciousness. And you know, a person who if you want eagerness, you can't find it, this is my point, in the ordinary frame of mind in which your mind operates. Do you know that your mind thinks 55,000 thoughts a day? 55, it's a thought machine. And listen to this, most of these thoughts, except for one or two, are the same, which
you thought yesterday and the day before. It's very boring, your thought machine. It's not very creative, you know. So that's when we come to a place like Braj or to any other place, we find our mind operating in the same way, the same kind of way as it does in the West. And to uplift the mind, it's very, very absolutely essential that we change the frame in which it works. And therefore, reading in the scriptures is important. And if you want to have a good bhajan with eagerness, then you must change from your old mind to your new mind. And that happens when you read appropriate literature. So as we go this each evening through this Braj Vilas Stava, we think, my God, this Yashoda is really something else, you know. Wow, this is really an example. I mean, even when she just hears the name Krishna, like Uddhava visited her once, immediately, even the boy is not there, Krishna is not there, milk comes out of her breasts. And my God, then you hear, when Yashoda, when Krishna didn't return, Yashoda went every day in the noontime on the street of Braj and waiting for Krishna to return. And the Brajbasis came, Queen, and said, Queen of Braj, your son has not returned yesterday and he will not return today most properly. He said, don't stand in the heat, you will get a sunstroke. But Yashoda would stay the whole day on the street. And sometimes she would go home and she would chastise Nanda. Oh, you cruel fool, you came without Krishna back to Braj. Then she says, oh, sorry, I just out of misery I said this. And sometimes she just sits before the house. Do you know what she does? She looks at a little red stick which has a golden, how do you say, like spiral, a spiral made from a golden thread. The stick is with red cloth, and then over it is a beautiful, beautiful golden thread like this. This is Krishna's cowherding stick, which he left leaning against the wall of the house when he left for Mathura. And she just sits, stares at the stick which reminds her of Krishna. She's just so much full of love. And when we hear this, we begin to think, when do I sometimes think of Krishna? You know, when does my spiritual life start in earnestness? I think all these 55,000 thoughts a day, which are just so boring and so useless, you know, it's so ordinary, you know, when will I ever start in my spiritual life? That is exactly what happens when we are introduced to the great examples of Krishna's associates. So this was Mother Yashoda, who is even glorified over Nanda Maharaj. Now tomorrow we hear about another saintly lady of Braj, who is behaving very extraordinary, and we will not tell who this is. We will put Braj Vilas Stava to rest now. Tomorrow Krishna is kind on us and we are still living. That's not a question of that. Krishna is kind to us, we will hear more. So I thank you all very much. I still have to, I have to go back quite to where I'm trying my bhajan. I have not yet completed everything, so I still have a stretch before me, and I'm taking your leave also. Thank you for coming, and hopefully you are getting a little eagerness by hearing about Mother Yashoda's tears of love. Hare Krishna. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Shri Braj Vilastava ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari 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 Bol.